Good morning. I'm standing at the door of this large church on the busy Lozells Road. And inside, the musicians, choir members and congregation are preparing themselves for worship. This is what we call our assembly time. And as we go in, let me tell you a little about us. Apart from the Sunday services here, we have other activities during the week, a club for the pensioners, a workshop for the unemployed, and counsellors for those seeking some advice for personal matters. Our style of worship comes from the Caribbean. It's very much a freestyle, which we find attractive and full of excitement. Throughout the service, you'll hear exclamations like Amen, Hallelujah, and Praise the Lord. This is how we express our gratitude and appreciation to God. There are some 300 members of our church, and we're always delighted to welcome visitors. So as the main service is about to begin, come with me now as we join in Revive Us Again.
Good morning. Greetings to you. There seems to be a desire and a plea in each heart today for a revival in our time. May each soul be rekindled with that fire from above. This is one of probation. Here he's on trial for eternity. Here his principles will be tested by circumstances, by the temptations of the evil one. But for his salvation and preservation, God has made ample and suitable provision. Let us continue our worship as we sing hymn, I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free.
Thank you.
May we all unite in prayer. Our eternal God and Father, we magnify thy gracious name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your preservation of this day, that you have kept us through the past week, and in the new day of a new week, we are present in your service, Lord, to worship and to praise your glorious name. We pray that thou, O God, will be with us today. We pray, Lord, that your service today will be the means of God extending your love and mercy and your saving grace to all the hearers round about this world. We pray, the Heavenly Father, that thou will remember us today, that all those, O God, in the hurricanes, O God, the victims, O God, in all the various countries, we pray that thy mercy will still extend it to them. We pray that thou will comfort their souls, Lord, those families, O God, that have lost their loved ones. We pray that your comfort will be to them, supply their needs according to your riches in glory. We pray, Lord, that thy service today will be of extending the gospel to all the hearers. O Lord, the sick ones, O God, their body may be healed. Those that sick in soul, thy word will bring comfort and healing to them. Bless everyone here today and all those that listen, that thy service, O God, will mean our inspiration of their heart, a new beginning in life, as we ask your blessings in and through Jesus Christ, O loving Savior.
Amen. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Psalm 93. It reads thus: The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he is girded. Wherewith he is girded himself. The world also established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than many waters of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. This is the ending of the reading. May the Lord be pleased to have his blessing thereto. Amen. Amen.
The gospel choir will now sing as we worship the Lord with the morning's offering. The hymn, How I Got Over.
Over, how I got over, Let's bow our heads at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning for your presence among us. We're grateful this day, Lord, that you have brought us into your house to lift up and to worship your holy name. This is a day that you have created, Lord, a new day, one that we have never seen before. And we thank you because you have given us the strength to be here. We thank you because you have enriched our lives, O God, through your Holy Spirit. And because of this, we can come with our offering and our gifts this morning into your house. We ask, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit may continue to make our lives a blessing. And help us, Heavenly Father, as we continue to look to you always for our strength and our needs. We pray that your Holy Spirit may continue to make our lives a challenge of blessing. Thank you for all things this morning. Thank you for the creation, things around us, Lord. We bless and we honor your name this morning. In Jesus' name.
And now we listen to the sanctuary choir ministering Jesus is his name. The text to which I'd like to call your attention to is from the 8th portion of the Psalms. O Lord, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? This verse contains an important question. It seems the psalmist was contemplating the heavens, beholding with sublime interest the starry host, the moon and stars spreading their course with reflected glory and brightness, the vastness of the heavens, the splendor and magnitude of the starry worlds. The 19th portion, the first verse, he said, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Then his thoughts reflected on the lower creation. Hence the question, what is man? What is man? He's a creature. He's modified dust. Genesis 2 verse 7, he said that he was formed out of the dust of the ground. Yet his body is fearfully and wonderfully made. In Psalms 139 verse 14. With, as we are told, 245 bones with 40 distinct intentions. With 446 muscles within. Not fewer than 10,000 nerves. And 100,000 glands. With his brain, his mind, as an intellectual being, he is given power over the work of God's hands to subdue and have dominion. He guides his way across perilous oceans by exerting his influence over the air, over fire. He makes the element of nature do his bidding. But he is a moral being, created in the image of God with the power of choice, to choose good or evil, with reflection to love God and his fellow men, responsible or rendered accountable to the great supreme for all his actions, his words and his thoughts. Man is a responsible being. He is responsible for his God-given faculties, to use them right. He's responsible for the privileges and the mercies of God bestowed upon him. He's responsible for his time, his talents, and his influence to do right or wrong, not merely to get good and receive benefits for himself, but also to do good and bless those in the various spheres where providence had placed him. He is responsible to show forth the virtues and grace of Christian or a godly character. What a privilege he has to use his God-given power and ability to enhance the kingdom of God. What is man, the question asks? He is a fallen creature. He is guilty. In Romans 3 verse 23, it said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray, the prophet Isaiah cried. We have turned everyone to our own way. He became rebellious. Isaiah said in the first chapter, verse 2 and 3, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, But my people doth not consider. In the epistle of Paul to the Romans, he highlighted this guilt of man by showing his downward course, that when they know God, they worship and glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, in Romans 1st chapter. He is not what God intended him to be, which is understanding reflecting the knowledge of God, his judgment influenced only by his divine truth, his will cheerfully obedient to God's authority, his conscience serene and happy, his affections spiritual and heavenly, created in God's image for his pleasure, but now his understanding darkened, his judgment is perverse, his will became rebellious, his conscience is defiled, his affections become earthly, for because he did not like to retain God in his knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. But man is a spiritual being. Job said there is a spirit in man that an inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. In the Proverbs 28 verse 27 we read, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts. He is of infinite value, as seen in the price paid for his redemption. John 3:16, the scripture says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. He is an immortal being. His guilt may be canceled. Therefore, God visited him in the person of his Son. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. His fall is not irreparable. His loss is not final. His case is not hopeless, for God provided a Savior. And then he exhorts us to seek ye the Lord while he is near. Call upon him while he may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy. Yes, he will have mercy, and he will abundantly pardon. That is conversion. That's an inward change. It deals with man's way, his natural way, that way to which he turns when he's left by himself, his habitual way, his beloved way, and the general way that all will go when they have gone away from God's way. But the scripture said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of it is death. But he must forsake his way, and also his thoughts. Man must forsake his unscriptural opinions and his self-formed notions about God, about God's laws, about the gospel. He must change his way about the church, about sin, that God will punish sinners, but he will save sinners when they turn to his Son. Amen. He must change his way about Christ, for the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He must change his thought about himself. It deals with man's relationship with God. It bids him cease from his pride and opposition. He bids him cease from distrust and unbelief. He must return. If he return, he will be forgiven. If he return, his nature may be renewed, his heart changed and cleansed and sanctified by the Spirit and grace of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, who the scripture says was delivered up for our offenses, but God raised him back for our justification. His soul may be the seat of joy and hope and peace, which is the kingdom of God within, begotten to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, fadeth not away. Peter said, this is reserved in heaven for us. What is man? The psalmist asked. He is the masterpiece of God's creation. He is the object of divine love. He lost his fellowship with God and became a rebel, in league with fallen spirits, speeding his way to the grave. But thank God his fall is not irreparable. He can gain or regain what he has lost. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and verse 17 said, all things are passed away. All things have become new. A new heart, new desires. He may die. He will die. The patriarch Job declared, if a man die, shall he live again? And some folks says no. So eat and drink and be merry. Go on in life and enjoy yourself. But the Son of God says, yes. Yes, they will live again. Marvel not, those that are in their graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. Those that have done good to resurrection of life, those that have done evil to resurrection of condemnation. More so, he said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Blessed be his name. This is the purpose that God sent his Son into our world, to lift up fallen man. Yes, he is guilty. Yes, he is a rebel. But God made provision. Through the gospel message, those who will turn and said, yes, I believe, then there is hope. How necessary that it should be for all of us to know ourselves and reflect on the great end of our being. How important that we should be found doing the will of God is, and this, that we believe on Jesus Christ, his Son, and keep his commandments. Let us pray. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts be open, and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, the author and giver of all good things, who sent thy Son to be the Savior of the world, to grant us the grace of true repentance, have mercy upon us. Cleanse us, O Lord, from our sins. And restore thou all those that are of true repentance, according to the promises declared unto mankind in Jesus Christ. Lord, look down upon us today. Upon our country, we ask you, Lord, let the spirit that brings conviction move mightily in our time, that there will be a consciousness in each heart. We need to turn from our sinful ways and believe on thy Son, whom thou hast sent. Grant this today, we pray, Lord, this country and around the countries of the world, that there will be a time of refreshing that shall come from the presence of the Lord. We ask all these in the name that is above every other name, Jesus Christ, thy Son. Amen.
Amen.
And now we sing our closing hymn. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done.
Thank you.
You have many things this day to give thanks for. As you count them, raise your hand with me and give thanks to the Lord. Give glory to his name, power of his grace, and his love to us word. Blessed be his name. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you without spot before the presence of his glory with rejoicing. To the only true God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, be glory and majesty this day, dominion and authority before all time, now and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Service came from the New Testament Church of God, Handsworth in Birmingham. The worship was led by the pastor, the Reverend Sidney Thompson, and the director of music was Dorcas Thompson.